Alleluia. Alleluia.
You'll have to ask Amy and Nia and Peggy to show you the dance that goes along with that. We put a ixnay on that pretty quick. Am I on, Kevin? Okay. I wasn't on while we were singing, was I? I appreciate that. This morning, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to study the first 13 verses. This was actually a passage that we as the group studied our first Sunday night in Sanyati. That morning we had been to two different churches actually, half of the group to Cubatana and the other half of the group to Chivanga, yeah. And then that night we were all back together at our house, so we built a bonfire in the back and we had church around that fire. And this was the passage we studied, and so this morning I'm going to kind of give you a I told Carrie it's going to be a test message, half testimony, half sermon. I don't know. We'll kind of work our way through this. I wanted to share with you what I shared with them, but also to kind of fill you in on what a great job this team did this week. I couldn't be prouder of a team than I am of them. And so we're going to study this, and I'll kind of fill in some gaps as we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. This 2 Timothy chapter 2, sorry. Verses 1 through 13. This is the word of God. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray. Father, we come to you because you are God. And Father, this morning we do just seek to praise you and glorify you and honor you, Lord. We know that mission trips, whether they be in Africa or just mission work here in Spur, even our gathering together, Lord, it's all about you. We understand that it's for your glory. We understand, Lord, it's that we may learn your will so that we may do your will. And we pray, Lord God, that during this service, as we reflect on what you accomplished in the last 2 weeks, Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to each and every heart. You would bring glory to yourself. We pray that as we study this word, Lord, that you would use it to accomplish your work in our lives and in our hearts. There are some that do not know you that need to be saved. There are some, Lord God, who know you, but you've been asking them to do things that thus far they've said no. And I pray that this morning would be your time to take your word, soften their heart, and draw them to yourself. Father, we just ask for you to speak because we want to hear from you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this text. And this morning, I'm not going to share tonight, and I don't really want to share any of the stories of the trip so as to kind of steal somebody else's thunder. You have to come back tonight for that. I just kind of want to tell you what I saw in this team and how proud you can be of them, especially those of you who gave and who prayed to support this team. And so I just kind of want to share this with you as we work through this text. We actually, I think, talked about 2 Timothy a couple of years ago. I don't think we finished it, but just so you'll know the backdrop to 2 Timothy, this is the second letter, obviously, that Paul wrote to his young protege named Timothy. Timothy was hand-selected by Paul, many think when he was around 14 years old. Paul took Timothy and circumcised him so that he would not be a stumbling block to the Jews they were going to minister to. But by this point in Scripture, Timothy is actually pastoring the church at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus faced a lot of obstacles. Timothy faced a lot of obstacles as he was there. Probably the foremost in everyone's mind that Timothy faced was his age. You can actually read in 1 Timothy 4:12, in the first letter Paul wrote, where Paul told Timothy, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Timothy didn't have the luxury of kind of having the age and the wisdom on his side as he spoke to the congregation. He was a young man. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was set apart for the ministry. He was definitely God's man for the church, but because he was young, he had difficulty communicating with an older congregation, and that was certainly one obstacle he faced. Another obstacle that he faced at this church is that those who were in leadership, those men who were doing the teaching, weren't always teaching what was correct. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul told him this, "As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith." And so not only was Timothy a young man coming in trying to instruct this older congregation, he also had to deal with sort of a power structure that was already there, a group of older men who were teaching what Paul called strange doctrines. Their focus was on myths and endless genealogies, and you kind of get the idea of where they were taking the church. And so Paul gave this young pastor the enormous task of going into the church at Ephesus and riding the ship. You need to grab these men and instruct them not to teach strange doctrines. And you, even though you're a young man, you need to set yourself an example of faith and godliness and purity. Paul would encourage him to give himself to the reading of the word and the preaching of the truth and to praying for his congregation. But you understand what Timothy faced at Ephesus. That was all in the first letter. By the time Paul writes his second letter, Timothy is on the verge of quitting. It's been hard. It's been difficult. He hasn't faced the success that he wanted to face. He hasn't seen the improvement that he wanted to see. And it's probably even likely that Timothy was facing outside pressure to quit, because we read in the book of Hebrews that Timothy, our brother, has been released from prison. The indication being that Timothy heeded Paul's advice in this letter, stood strong, and it actually landed him in jail because of it. And so Timothy is facing a hardship, and he wants to quit. He wants to stop. And so Paul writes what is his final letter contained in the New Testament to Timothy, encouraging him to push forward, encouraging Timothy to move on. And it serves as great motivation for any and all of us, not just those on the mission field, but even us who face the daily struggles of life, who don't want to witness to that person again, who don't want to bring it up at our workplace again, who don't want to go forward again and sign up for KFC, who don't want to write another Sunday school lesson, who think that the sermons are unending, that kind of mentality. This is good advice for any and all of us as we seek to push through the obstacles and the hardships. And so this is what we talked about with our team two Sunday nights ago. In our text here in 2 Timothy 2, Paul actually gives five commands. You can read through these verses and pick out the very simple commands. I want to take you through them real quickly. Number one, Paul tells Timothy to be strong. You see that in verse 1, be strong. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul tells Timothy to be strong, but you and I know it's not just strength in and of himself. He doesn't tell Timothy, be strong in your speaking ability. Be strong in your knowledge. Be strong in your conviction. Be strong as you stand your ground. That's not what he tells Timothy. He tells Timothy to have strength, but to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We covered this so many times as we were preparing for our trip. You saw the verse yet again, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We've talked about in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The strength that we have to have is the strength that God provides, and that's what Paul tells Timothy. You need to be strong, not in yourself, but strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Luke 24, 49, Jesus, just before he ascended, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8, of course, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And Paul was one who understood this. In Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul wrote, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So we were reminded again and again and again a couple of Sunday nights ago that we can do nothing in our own strength. That's not just in Africa, but it's also in America. You may accomplish ministries, you may actually fulfill the time slot, but if you want to accomplish anything for the kingdom, it has to be done in God's strength. It has to be done in God's power. And Paul telling Timothy, this young preacher who has rammed his head up against a wall, tells Timothy, you need to learn to be strong, not in yourself, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. One of the most amazing statements we also looked at a couple of Sunday nights ago is a doxology that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul wrote, now to him, and get this is amazing, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We had the group 2 weeks ago, and I would challenge you to do it now. Just close your eyes for a moment and think to yourself something that would be completely amazing if God did it. I'm walking out, going to my workplace, and I'm just imagining and thinking, man, if I walked into my workplace and this happened, that would be unbelievable if God could open that door. It would be unbelievable if God could start that conversation. And you just think about what would be an amazing day in the ministry. Paul told the Ephesians, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or even what you just thought about. That's nothing to God. What seems like a massive hurdle, this will never happen, this will never be fixed, this could never take place. What we think is impossible, God says, oh man, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. I can do far more beyond all that you could even think I could do. Don't limit me, in other words. And Paul even said where that power comes from. He said it works according to the power that works within us. In short, God already has given you and placed inside of you everything you need to be able to accomplish more than you even thought you could. It's being strong in the grace of God. And that's what Paul told Timothy to do, and I want you to know it's what I saw this team do for the last 2 weeks. Joe and Tommy, you both know these two men as men that routinely run off at the mouth, right? I mean, silent men. They went to a church, thought they were going to train deacons, ended up teaching the whole church. And if that's not enough, they had question and answer time after that. And you can imagine the lump that would hit your throat if by the time you finished with the whole church, they said, now, does anybody have any questions you want to ask these men? Joe and Tommy handled it. Leo preached on a Sunday morning, came back and told me I didn't even have my notes. I just knew God was speaking and I didn't even get confused at what I was saying. And you know, Leo, that's a feat, right? That's God. All more beyond what you can ask or think. I heard Lance before we leave go into a panic attack about having to teach three lessons. And he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do this. We calmed him down, gave him a pacifier. He was all right. He fell off the roof, and so he couldn't work on Saturday. And I watched him with 10 minutes notice be told he was fixing to address a group of Baptist men and give a devotion to them. 10 minutes. I watched God speak through Lance. Stood outside the window, heard Derek, and you know Derek's only spoken 12 words his entire life. And I heard Derek outside of a window give a devotion to a group of men in a hospital and women who were there, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Peggy wasn't sure if she was physically strong enough to do it, and yet she made it. Carrie wasn't sure if she'd be able to leave my side, and yet by the grace of God, she was able to go in a different direction a few days. The point is, I want you to understand that when this team went, they did what Paul said, and they worked in the strength of God, and you could be proud of them for that. Because they didn't do things according to their own ability and their own strength. I watched God stretch their rubber bands. I watched God push each one of them outside of the box, and each one of them could come back and tell you, I did things that I didn't think I could do. Things were accomplished that I didn't think could be accomplished. And so I want you to know I'm proud of this team. So Paul told Timothy, be strong. Second command he gives, entrust. Entrust. Look at verse 2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, after Paul tells Timothy to be strong, he gives him some very unique advice here. And it's really advice that we don't all do well with. We live under the motto, if you want anything done right, you do it yourself, right? I mean, we know that. Nobody can do it as good as I can. Nobody's going to try as hard as I will. Or even maybe we go on a mission trip and we have this mentality that on the trip, well, anytime preaching has to be done, it's going to be that guy. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can. And woe to the man who actually thinks that's true, that I'm the only one who can. But that's what Timothy was facing here. You may remember back when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He comes back and he's sitting down with this great multitude, and Moses is their one shepherd. He's their one elder, their one leader. And everybody, you can imagine the line that's come and take a number so that they can bring their judgments to Moses and find out what is God's will in this situation. And when Moses' father-in-law Jethro visited, remember Jethro said, what in the world are you doing? In fact, in Exodus chapter 18, here's what it says. Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and those people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge, so it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. You know, you're not a one-man show, Timothy. You're wearing out because you're carrying it all yourself. You think you have to do it all. You're bearing the whole burden. You're trying to preach every sermon, fix every problem, give every step of guidance. You can't. You'll wear out, and it'll frustrate the people because you won't do a good job if you try to do every single avenue there in the church. And so Paul told Timothy, you need to get some faithful men and entrust your ministry to these men so that they will be able to do it. The idea here, and this is one of the greatest lessons I learned on this trip, is that God uses us not as one individual, but we know this, as a body, right? We're all a body with different callings, different attributes, different ideas, and every now and then those attributes actually intertwine, and other people can do the same job. God didn't just raise up preachers or teachers. God raised us all up. The eye has to let the hand do its job, and the mouth has to let the feet do its job. The mouth has to give way to the ear, and the ear has to work side by side with the eye. Sometimes it just happens. And this was one of the things I was so pleased with this group. Timothy was discouraged because he tried to do it on his own, but this group figured that out. If you were to ask the group, you know, who was the shining figure of the group, you wouldn't find one. Because if you want to ask who preached, more than one person would raise their hand. Who taught, more than one would raise their hand. Who shared testimony, more than one would raise their hand. Who worked, who traveled, who did this, who did that. There wasn't a one-person show on this thing. Everybody did all that God would call them to do. There was no one person. And I'm so pleased that I can tell you that God didn't just use Peggy or Tommy or this person or that person. God used everybody that was here. That includes the young people in our group. You already saw Derek sharing. You should have went around with Nia and watched her intermingle with these kids. Nia could do things that nobody else on the group could do because she was their age, because her energy is tireless. If you don't believe me, get on a bus with her and drive across the country. She never wears out. I mean, she's like the Energizer Bunny. But you get the idea here, and I was proud of this team because they trusted each other that God would work in each person. Nobody tried to fix everything for everybody else. It was a great thing. Paul told Timothy to entrust. This group did that. So be strong, entrust. Number three, this is a tough one to swallow, but suffer. Suffer. Look at 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. We use the word suffer here, and that certainly can be true. It's probably better to read it like the word endure. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul told Timothy, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." The idea here is don't shy away of something just because it's hard, just because it's going to make you sweat a little, or it may cause a little physical pain, or it may make you uncomfortable, or it may go longer than you want. Go ahead and endure. Go ahead and suffer these things. Adrian Rogers once said that men are like rivers. They grow crooked when they follow the path of least resistance. And so we understand as Christians, it's not the path we choose. Sometimes we choose the hard path. Sometimes we choose the difficult way. Sometimes we actually sign up for the things that seem like they're beyond us because the way of endurance and the way of suffering is something that we've actually been called to do. And Paul told Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier." And then he tells him what he means. Look at verse 4. "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." And you and I know there's a difference between soldiers and civilians. Civilians go to work, and civilians worry about the things of this life, how they're going to make a living, and how they're going to pay their bills, and how they're going to do all those things. But not soldiers. Soldiers only have one thing on their mind, and that's the command that's passed down from their superior officer. That's really all that matters. They're not there to worry about how they're going to make the house payment or the electric bill or what they want to eat tonight. That's not in a soldier's vocabulary. Their concern is only to focus on what the Lord has for them. And if you remember, Jesus taught us that's how we are to live. In Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, the world, the civilians eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Timothy needed to understand there's a lot of things in this life that you just can't focus on and worry about. Let those things go. You focus on the call. You focus on the mission. Focus on the righteousness of God. You can't shy away from things just because they're difficult. Many times we live this life only focusing on how to make this moment more comfortable, don't we? If I get a headache, I'm going to go look for the medicine I can take to make it go away. If I'm hungry, I'm going to go look for the place that will feed me the best, the fastest, and the cheapest. If it's hot in my house, I'm going to turn down the thermostat. If it's cold, I'm going to turn it up. I mean, we're always thinking about our comfort. How can I walk less, eat more, stay cooler, and, you know, watch something better on TV? I mean, it's always about what can I do to be comfortable. And Paul's telling Timothy, throw comfort out, Timothy. Don't let comfort enter the equation. You focus on obedience. Go ahead and endure a little suffering. And I want you to know I saw this team do that on a daily basis. I'm not going to say we suffered in Sanyati because we did not suffer in Sanyati. Anybody that says we did, we could find a lot of people that suffer way more than we do on a daily basis. But I did watch these men this wintertime in Africa that was supposed to be so cool. It was 102 degrees the last day we climbed up on top of that metal roof. And so that was difficult. There are 4.2 million roosters in Sanyati, and none of them have a sense of daylight. They crow all night long, and so sleep was fleeting. As Derek mentioned, there was not hot water. If there was, Rochelle and Amy got all of that. And so the rest of us went outside under the water hose and showered out there. It's not comfortable. The food's different. It wasn't bad, but it's different. Electricity comes on maybe every other day. So dirty hair, smelly clothes. Just kind of comes a way of life. It's not hard suffering like the world does, but I watched this team endure all those things. I have you today sitting on opposite sides in church. One of these days, do yourself the privilege of going to a real African church service where you'll be given a wooden bench without a back, and you will start somewhere around 10:30, and you might end somewhere around 2:30. And if you're fortunate, you'll have a wall to lean up against while they preach. But I mean, this is how it works. There's no air conditioning. There's no anything like that. But I never heard them complain. I never heard anybody say, "I'm not going to church today. That bench is too hard. I'm not going to church today. They sing too long. I'm not going to church today because the bus is too rough when I drive over there." I never heard them say that. I never heard them say it was too hot to go to work. I never heard them say it was too far to walk to minister to the women. I watched them go on mission, not vacation. And they were focused. You could be proud of the team for doing that, not looking for the easy way out, but always doing what was necessary. So Paul told Timothy, be strong, entrust, suffer. Number 4, consider. It's verses 5 through 7. The command actually comes in verse 7. Verse 5, he says, "Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops." And then here comes the command, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And so Paul gives Timothy a couple of analogies here. He just wants him to chew on for a minute. I just want you to think about this. And he says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. We could line up here at, around the track and spur and get at the starting point to run a race and run the 400 meters, you know, around the track once. And we could all take off. But if I get around to the other side of the track and then cut across to the infield, right back to the finish line, you could say that I won the race. But are they going to give me a medal? No, because you didn't compete according to the rules. You have to do it the way they say to do it. An easy analogy from Scripture would come maybe in 1 Timothy, in which Paul told Timothy that he didn't permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. That was a man's job to do that. We actually faced that one in Africa. One of the missionaries had said it was all right if the ladies teach the men. And we said, well, no, it's not really okay. And she said, well, they've done it before. And we said, it's still not okay. The Bible doesn't say it's okay. Not because women aren't smart. They are. Look at the group we sent. They're smart ladies. But our men were called to do it. And so that's who stepped up. And the men step up and do it. Why? Because it's important that you not only do what God says, but that you do it the way God says to do it. You can finish the task, but if you don't compete according to the rules, then you don't get the reward. And I watched the team do that. Paul also told Timothy in verse 6 that the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. In other words, you work with an expectation of reward. You don't go because the people of Africa are going to pay you, and they didn't. You don't go because you get some great glory there. You don't. Aside from a how are you every morning, many are content to sit under the shade tree and watch you work. I mean, there's no glory to be done there. We didn't get certificates. You know, the Zimbabwe government didn't meet us at the airport and say, oh, thank you for coming. You know, we're not goodwill ambassadors or anything like that. Nobody really seems to care, but that's not why they did it. They did it because God asked them to. And there were days when you're on the roof, and I wasn't with the women most of the time, so I can't tell their stories. They will. But the one of the first days we're there, Lance worked 20 minutes and then bowed out of work. But after that, we've torn the roof off, and you have to bust all this concrete cheeking off of the roof. And so you go around busting off this concrete. And it would have been nice if they had told us that we were going to have to clean up the mess we were making inside before we made the mess, because we would have been neater in what we did. But massive mess. And so when they come around one day and tell Leo and I, you know, you've got to clean these rocks up. You've got to clean these rooms out. Leo didn't complain. And we certainly didn't do it for the African people, because the mindset was, well, there's plenty of them sitting out there that can come run a shovel. But as we did it, we sang the song we sang this morning. It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. Leo and I just decided that we were cleaning out Jesus' house. And so that's why you do what you do. It wasn't for the glory you were going to receive or the pat on the back. And I watched this team do that continually, over and over, expecting that God would reward them for what they did. And so I'm very proud of this team. I saw them leave all their locations, doing everything they could do, all for the glory of God. I saw Peggy sick almost from the beginning, and she managed to spread it to every one of us. But I saw Peggy sick from the very beginning, pushing through it. I saw Lance bruised up, beaten up. He was back at work the first day, even though Marcella was threatening. We had to hide him from Marcella the rest of the first day just so Lance could work. But I saw guys do that sort of thing. Leo's knee was swelling up. He was still going, still moving forward. And so I was proud of this team, because they did what they did, not for the glory of man, but because they knew God had asked them to do it. Paul tells Timothy, be strong in trust, suffer, consider. Number 5, the final command, remember. Look at verses 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And Paul's admonition to Timothy is clear, isn't it? This is not a goodwill mission. This is not a humanitarian mission. When you go, there is something you must remember. Who is it? Jesus Christ. descendant of David, risen from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ. When you go, it's not just to hug people and it's not just to console people. It's to share the gospel with people. Timothy wasn't there to make friends. He was there to make disciples. You're to go out and share the gospel of Jesus. Paul said, in fact, that's why I'm in prison in verses 9 and 10. It's the gospel that causes me to suffer hardship even to imprisonment. But in verse 10, he said, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. In short, God has his elect out there. I don't know where they are, but God does. And the only way they're ever coming is if the gospel reaches them. And so I'll endure hardship. I'll endure plane rides, or not in Paul's case, long walks. I'll endure hot temperatures, and I'll endure different food, and I'll endure wooden benches, and I'll endure hardship. If I can take the gospel to those who need to hear it, those who are chosen, so that they may be saved. And that's what Paul told Timothy. And he even reminded Timothy in verse 11 that if you die, you'll live. And if you endure, you'll reign. Now, if you deny him, he'll deny you. But if you're faithless, don't worry. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even Timothy, if you quit and you fall away, and you say, I've had it, I'm not preaching at Ephesus anymore, and you lose faith and desert your task, you will not mess up the plan of God at all. We talked about with this group. God had a plan in Africa, a plan to touch lives, touch hearts, and put on a roof and do things like that. And if our group had said no and we hadn't gone, God would have still accomplished that purpose. That roof would still have been on. Those people would have still been encouraged. God would have still spread his truth. The only difference is we would have missed out on the blessing of it. And so I'm proud of this team because they went forward and they remembered Christ. And I saw this. I never saw one of them check out. This is not to put a damper on any other trip, but I could probably tell you at least one incident on every other trip I've been on where maybe you see a person standing over here and team members, and in my mind I'll look over and think, somebody get over there and share with that person. Somebody go over and talk to that person. That's happened on every trip, but not this one. I can't think of a single time when I saw an African man or woman standing down and people just standing around ignoring them. Never saw it happen. I would come down the ladder off the roof and one day and there's Les talking to a guy, or I'd go in another room and there's Leo talking to somebody. Continually, this group was focused. I never saw them give up or take the easy road. And when they preached, I heard what they preached. It was repentance. And it was faith in Christ. And it was a changed life. Over and over, testimonies were shared. You could be proud of what this team shared. I couldn't be prouder of them. So I kind of wanted to share with you what we talked about as far as being faithful. And also wanted to share with you what they did. But I do want you to understand here at the end of this. This is not a sermon. It's not meant so that you'll run back and you'll fall at the feet of those who went and say, oh, I'm so thankful you did such a good job. That's not it. That's not the purpose. I just want you to know that those of you who prayed for us and those of you who gave, that you can be proud of what they did. But what I really want to do here this morning is challenge you. And that includes those who just got back, myself and everybody else who was here. Every time I've gone on a mission trip as well and come home, inevitably someone comes to me and says, I was supposed to go on that trip and I didn't. You've heard Tommy share that testimony 15 times about the first Africa trip. But I've heard that nearly every time. I was supposed to go and I didn't. And who knows what it is that keeps us from going. I can't put my finger on it. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's perceived obstacles. But really and truly, I want to ask you to let those obstacles go. I saw a 10-year-old little girl go and love African people. I saw a 17-year-old boy who doesn't say more than two words a day stand and give a devotion in a hospital room. I saw two 70-plus-year-old women, one who just got back from having a broken pelvis bone, walk the dirt roads of San Yadi and minister to women who were giving birth and those who were about to. I mean, don't give me the too old, too feeble. These women went because they loved God and because they were used. I watched Peggy, who didn't know if she could get around, do it. I saw a mother there with three young girls who has moved her family there for 6 months just so her husband can overlook the hospital renovation program. And the point is, don't throw the I can'ts. I've got this problem and I've got that problem. The man who was overseeing is a man named Ryan Sifford. He's an aerospace engineer. He has an important job. And you say, well, I've got a job. There's no way I could get away. Have you ever asked? This man's job, this aerospace engineer, has told him, go ahead, live in Africa for 6 months and you've still got a job when you get back. Now, many people look at that and say, oh, I couldn't get away because of my work. I'm sure he probably thought that at one point too, until he asked. You never know what God might do if he wants you to go. And so I want to encourage and challenge you. If you were here and said, you know, I should have gone on that trip and I didn't, whatever the reason was, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. And I want to encourage you next time to at least give God the opportunity to send you if he wants to. It might just change your life. And as you go, not only on a mission trip, but every day here in Spur, I want to encourage you to be strong, not in yourself, but strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And I want you to entrust yourself to the body, to know that God has a plan for you as a part of the body, just as he has a plan for other people, and work side by side with your church to accomplish it. I want you to endure what seems hard so that you'll be a good soldier. I want you to do what Christ says, and I want you to do it the way he says to do it. I want you to compete according to the rules. I want you to expect that Christ will reward you for your sacrifice. And as you go, I want you to remember Jesus. I want you to remember his chosen, and that they need to hear the gospel so that they can be brought forth into salvation, even to the point that Paul said, I'd go to prison if I could get the gospel to the chosen ones in prison. And that's the idea. And so, church, I want to encourage you to serve and to serve in God's strength and to do what God asks you to do. And I want you to follow the example of this team, because they set you a good example. I'm proud of the way they went. I'm proud of the way they prepared. 6 months of their life they gave to study and to prepare and to plan and to pray and to do over and over and over. And then they went and endured and let God use them and spend them however he wanted for 2 weeks in Africa. And so I encourage you to follow their example. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you are our God, and I praise you because you're worthy and because you're good. And I thank you, Lord, for this mission trip. You brought it about. You provided for it. You opened the door. You called out those to go. You used them according to your will and by your divine power to accomplish the purpose that you knew you would accomplish. And we just thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part. I thank you for this great church, Lord, who would encourage us and provide and pray for us and support us each and every day leading up to this trip, throughout it, and even when we got home. I pray that you bless those who did that and those who stood in the gap for us while we were gone. I pray that you'd continue to work in the San Yadi area. You'd be with the teams that are there now and those that are showing up, and that you would keep them safe as they work and bless them as they share the gospel. And that, Lord God, you would continue to accomplish your purposes there and in all of Zimbabwe and Africa. Lord, I pray especially today for those in this place who are supposed to go on mission. And either they never have or they just haven't lately, but they know they're supposed to do it. And I pray that you would eliminate their fears and remind them that it is your strength they go in. And it is your wisdom. And you can accomplish all things through them. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would continue to move in our church to accomplish your purposes. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.